You're listening to The 21st. I'm Mary Hansen. When you think of great places to listen to country music, Nashville or Austin might come to mind, but a new documentary film from Illinois Public Media aims to set the record straight about our influence on the genre.
You got the people in New York, you got the people in L.A., and people in Illinois ended up being flyover Americans. Country music gives flyover Americans a voice.
We were always a cosmopolitan state, a state with new people and new ideas and new sounds constantly coming together and evolving. And as a result of that, while we don't have a unique Illinois sound, Illinois musicians can be felt in every aspect of country music.
That's a clip from the new hour-long documentary film, Illinois Country. It explores the history of country music in our state. The film traces the progression of the genre from early gathering halls to the National Barn Dance in Chicago and features artists like Alison Krauss and Robbie Fulks. Illinois Country premieres on WILL next week on Monday, March 2nd. We'll have more information up on our website and Twitter for those of you that are interested. The film will also be featured on other public media stations throughout the state for those of you outside of Champaign-Urbana area. In the meantime, I'm joined in our Urbana studio by Sarah Edwards, who's the director behind Illinois Country, and DJ Roach, who is the producer. Sarah and DJ, welcome to The 21st. Thanks for being here.
Thanks for having us.
And Sarah, as I mentioned, Illinois might not be the first place people think of when they think of country music, but this film makes clear that Illinois does, in fact, have a really big part in the story of country music. Is that something you wanted to make sure was clear in the film?
Absolutely. I think, when I was given the job of doing this documentary, I did not know a whole lot about country music in Illinois. I knew I'd gone to high school with Alison Krauss at one point, but that was about it. And so we really wanted people to know the breadth and depth of country music in the state, where it came from, key innovators in country music, and the people who've made the big time, so to speak. And so we, but we also wanted to cast a spotlight on the local talent who have come out of East Central Illinois. And we started with a guy named Mervyn Lee here, who's kind of considered the granddaddy of country music. And then we highlighted people like Jerry Milam, who founded one of the first recording studios in the state of Illinois. And recorded people like REO Speedwagon and Dan Fogelberg and just people you would have no clue about as even growing up here in Illinois.
And something else that was new to me in this was the National Barn Dance, the Chicago radio station and their barn dance. Can you talk a little bit more about that and why it was significant?
Well, people who are in their 70s plus today will remember the barn dance when it was on the radio. So that's not surprised that people who are younger have not heard of it. The National Barn Dance really was the Grand Ole Opry before the Grand Ole Opry was the Grand Ole Opry. I mean, Chicago was the Nashville of country music from about the 1920s to the early 1960s when it went off the air. It was a variety show, a lot of Bill Monroe, who founded the bluegrass genre, got his start, one of his first appearances on the National Barn Dance, and countless other people. Gene Autry started his career at the National Barn Dance, and people who, for example, we profile a woman named Jenny Lou Carson from Decatur, Illinois, who was the first woman to write a country music hit in the whole United States. She was on the National Barn Dance, a huge cast of characters that were integral to the development of country music.
And so we have a short clip from WLS Radio and the Barn Dance.
To start things off, boys, let's really raise the roof. It's here with that old Alabama Jubilee.
And DJ, this is an example of the old-time fiddly and the sort of hillbilly persona that went along with early country music. But after that came more of the cowboy persona. Can you talk a little bit about that shift?
I think, well, like Sarah was saying, once the barn dance kind of moved away from the barn dance, essentially moved from Chicago down to Nashville and turned into the Grand Ole Opry. But yeah, some of the early another subgenre that kind of came out of that was cowboy music, and you know there was this persona of people wanting to, I don't know how it was put in the documentary, like the home on the range type genre that came from also from the barn dance.
Yeah, I think a lot of people don't know that Gene Autry did not start as a cowboy musician. He did not sing cowboy songs. In fact, somebody told him, "Well, you should wear some cowboy gear," you know, and so that he made the choice a lot, you know, at the time that he was on the National Barn Dance to be the singing cowboy, and that really ushered in the entire era of cowboy home on the range type of singing cowboys.
And one of the
trendsetter there.
One of the stories in the documentary is about someone from Tuscola, Illinois, named Smiley Burnett, who at one point became kind of Gene Autry's sidekick, I guess it would be what you would call him. He would later go on to appear in movies and stuff like that. But he was from Tuscola, Illinois, and it just so happened that Gene Autry was looking for someone to kind of step into a sidekick type role, and he threw I forget who it was that asked for a name. Called him up on the phone.
We tell the story in the documentary.
Basically called him on the phone, said, "Hey, and from Tuscola," So Smiley Burnett's one of the people you'll see in the documentary that kind of
made it big.
And so in the film, you also talk about the Possum Holler Opry, which was a TV show out of Quincy, Illinois in the early 1960s. It was a live program, had a lot of these local singing acts and country music. We have another clip here of the host talking about the show.
And that was the cornerstone of Possum Holler Opry, was to be able to draw that huge talent that was in the local community that people could connect to, that, you know, that's my son. That's my nephew. So they would turn into the show because they knew people.
Oh, bands, weeping and wailing in my bed, and the bums in the room agree.
It had such a huge following that if it played opposite of the World Series or the Super Bowl, it had better ratings.
So that was Richard Elson-Peter talking about the show. And Sarah, What impact did that shows like Possum Holler have in the country industry?
Well, it really was the first country television variety show. It was before Hee Haw, and in fact, Hee Haw launched right after the Possum Holler Opry went off the air. And you know, you can speculate whether Hee Haw took a note or two from the Hot Possum Holler Opry, because it really was a groundbreaking TV show at that time.
And what does Hee Haw for? Those of us who don't know,
wow, it's a country music variety show that was very popular for many, many years. A lot of big time country stars appeared on Hee Haw.
So they're another Illinois influence. And DJ, I think people in Champaign-Urbana might remember Farm-Aid. So sort of going forward in time here, here's a clip from their 1985 1985 concert Farm-Aid, and then maybe you can tell us a little bit more about what that is.
Hello, Illinois. Hello, America.
Thank y'all very much, and welcome to Farm Aid, the concert for America.
On the road again. I just can't wait to get on school again. The life I love is making music with my friends.
So that was Farm Aid. What was that concert for, and why did it make why did you want to include it in the film?
Yeah, Farm Aid was it was a concert in 1985 here in Champaign, Illinois, that was put on. It was basically a kind of a way to support local area farmers that were kind of going through a tough time. So it started. A man named Dennis Riggs, who we feature in the documentary, was one of the original planners of the concert, but you know you could hear from the clip Willie Nelson, some big stars, was one of the headliners of that. It was kind of Willie's baby, I guess you could say. He kind of spearheaded it, and
there were stars from across rock, pop, and country.
Yeah.
It was a huge big deal in 1985.
And it was a big deal for this area, for the Champaign-Urbana area in general. It would go on to they did it a few years later. In different places, but it was really the one that kind of got put it on the map.
Yeah, and so why Champaign-Urbana? Why was that sort of important for them to put the concert here?
Yeah, it was just because this area kind of represented the heartland of America, I guess. And I think what it was, you know, they were trying to shine a spotlight on, you know, what farmers were going through at the time. And, you know, it was just it just was a good representation of really just the heartland, I guess, of America.
Precisely. Yeah. Well, we talk about the flyover country sometimes, right?
Yes, exactly.
Yeah.
And when you DJ Illinois Country comes out on the heels of Ken Burns's documentary Country Music, and recently WNYC's also put out a podcast about Dolly Parton. I wonder if we're seeing more of a resurgence in interest in country music.
Well, I hope so. You know, I think the Ken Burns. We originally started this project as kind of a companion to the Ken Burns, which we knew was coming out. And it was, you know, obviously Ken Burns kind of does a very, very deep dive into country music. It's a 16-hour documentary. And you know, we wanted to kind of do and put an Illinois spin on it and kind of feature some of the Illinois country heritage that the state has. So I guess to answer your question, yeah, I hope maybe from that and maybe this documentary will, you know, hopefully spur a resurgence.
I'd say that, you know, country music has always been wildly popular, you know, and it's been an education for DJ and I throughout the process, you know, just because you didn't listen to it growing up doesn't mean it is wildly popular with a lot of people, you know. And so in some ways, I don't think there has been a resurgence, but I think there is a new focus on different types of country and different voices in country. People like Margot Price, who we feature in the documentary, who, you know, has raised a little bit of a ruckus down in Nashville for her political views and things like that. But she's still wildly popular. So,
and so you Sarah, you couldn't make a 16-hour documentary like Ken Burns. It's just an hour long. But there's also a web series that accompanies the film called Voices of Illinois Country. It has more interviews and performances and content that weren't able to fit in that hour long documentary. What can people find there, and what's your favorite part of that collection?
We, of course, as you said, we shot more than 20 interviews, between 20 and 30, actually, for this documentary. There's a lot we could not put in and fit into our hour. But we also had this idea to profile young, up-and-coming people who are trying to make it in country music. So we do have profiles of people like Taji Bachman and a band out of Springfield called The Deep Hollow, who have gotten a lot of great rave reviews. For their writing and for their music. We also have vignettes, stuff that I thought was really awesome, and we could not fit it in the documentary. So historical stories about people who had songs written about them. There was a gangster down in Southern Illinois who I thought was really interesting, desperately wanted to put it in, but I just didn't have the time. And so we put that story, narrated by Chris Valillo, who's a historian in Illinois, on our web series. So there's a lot of great little vignettes and interviews that we just couldn't fit in. And there are more to come.
And so, DJ, how did you decide? There's obviously a huge amount of history of country music in the entire state. How did you decide which one would be featured in the documentary?
Well, I think, you know, early on, I think we decided to we didn't want to focus on just people who were from here that went on to become famous. I think that was something we wanted to steer clear of. We didn't want to just do someone that maybe weren't known for being from Illinois. So a lot of the stories that we tell in the documentary, I think, they're rooted in the state of Illinois, whether it's their kind of their style or genre. Or Sarah mentioned Margot Price, who's kind of considered like an outlaw in country music, but she still she's got one of her most popular songs is about her hometown of Aledo, Illinois. Kendall Marvel, who's a songwriter in Nashville, who's written a lot of songs for other people, who's a great artist in his own right, but he kind of epitomizes this really rugged type Illinois roots, I guess is the best way to put it. So we weren't really interested in just someone who was from Illinois. It's someone who just, you know, if you go to their Wikipedia page, it says they were born here, and that's really the only ties they have to Illinois. So I think that was one of the things we...
For the Illinoisans that we that were not born in the state, we did profile, spend a lot of time with John Hartford, who wrote the classic country standard, Gentle on My Mind. He was not born in Illinois, but he spent his entire life here. So that's a case of somebody who is a Illinoisan honorary.
Yeah, exactly.
Even though
he has some roots here, but not necessarily.
Exactly.
Yeah.
So.
And so, Sarah, we have just about a minute left, but I wanted to ask you about the original song that you and your team created for the film. There's a lot of history in the film, but this is a new thing. You all brought together a top cast of Nashville players to create and play the song, including Bo Pitney, who sang it. What was that process like watching that song become a reality?
Well, I had this idea at the beginning in an effort to save money, it was quite the opposite effect. We ended up going to Nashville nearly six times throughout the course of the making of the documentary. But, I think a lot of people have no clue how the songs they hear on the radio are made from start to finish. And so we really wanted to document that. We put together two guys with completely opposing histories in songwriting, but very good histories. One was John Pinnell, who was Alison Krauss's mentor and an original member of Union Station. And the other one was Graham Edwards, who had a long history in pop music. He wrote Complicated, Skater Boy, and I'm With You for Avril Lavigne. And so I just thought, hey, let's put oil and water together and see what happens, expecting a disaster. But these guys really hit it off, and they created something extremely special, and ended up, John, through his connections largely, brought in people to perform on the song, including Alison Krauss, Andrea Zahn, who hails right here in Champaign, Urbana. She's a part of James Taylor's band. Sam Bush, who's arguably one of the best mandolin players in the history of country music, and Jerry Douglas, who's a great dobro player.
So we'll go out on that song. This is Back Roads, sung by Mo Pitney from the film Illinois Country. It's a documentary that'll premiere on WILL Monday night. Sarah Edwards and DJ Rhodes have been telling us more about the film. Sarah's the director. DJ produced the documentary. Thank you both so much for talking with us today.
Thank you.
Thank you.
And rice on the radio, prairie wind whistles like a lonesome fiddle tune. Bean blossom and rustic barns call out from my memory to a front porch on a Sunday afternoon.